Are you ready? Welcome to the Think Millions podcast, a channel where you get an unfiltered, raw, and authentic conversation about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and tips and tricks on how you can scale your business to the next level. If you are looking to scale your business, then you're in the right place. Introducing our host, Alexa D'Agostino.
Welcome to the Think Millions podcast, a podcast where we come live every week and we're giving you strategies that we're using on our clients and ourselves to help you scale your business to millions. Today, we're going to talk about how to negotiate like a boss. I would say we're pretty damn good at this. And it's actually funny. I have Deb here with me who helps me with a lot of the negotiations. And I'm a pretty fearless negotiator. And it took me a long time to learn how to do that. And a part of it was when I actually went into corporate. After I sold my business in 2014, I landed in a CMO job and my boss was a huge negotiator. And so I had to negotiate everything. Everything that was put in front of me, I had to negotiate. I swear to God, like I had to negotiate the dentist bill. Like it was like everything was negotiated. And so I got really good at negotiation. What I learned is everything is negotiable. Literally, you can negotiate at Publix. I swear to God, like you can negotiate everything in life. So I got really, really good. And mostly it was the very first year, we had a $2.9 million advertising budget. And I saved us $450,000 by negotiating. Crazy, crazy stats. Yeah, like crazy. So Now I negotiate everything on all different levels. And you have to really learn the skill. It's a really important skill that you need in order to run a business. I mean, would you agree? In my opinion, especially when you get to multi-six figures, it's probably one of the most important things.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't know how to negotiate, chances are the person that you should be negotiating with does know how to negotiate. And you've already lost. If you're coming into it and not, you don't have that skill set and you don't even know you're in. Here's the other thing. How many people don't even know they're in a negotiation when they are? Like that, I think that's a big one, being aware of what it even is.
Always
like
in a negotiation. You're always. And I would even say now with some of our equity projects and my business partners, they're worth crazy amount, 9-10 figures, and they still negotiate. So you have these really, really rich people. And sometimes I'm like, I don't get it. We're negotiating over a dollar, but the phrase every dollar counts really. And what I'm seeing is, you know, the stupid phrase, it's not really stupid. So that's uncle stupid, but that phrase, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And that goes with negotiation and cash flow and why not negotiate when you can. And so example, I just negotiated a print project and he wanted 23 per unit. We're doing 1,000. So that's, you know, and I got him down to 20. That's $3,000 difference. Like, now do that on a large scale and you do that for every project. And another project, they wanted 42,000 for the project and I negotiate down to 30 for the same product. A lot of times these people have these crazy margins and if they want the business, they're going to come down. And so that saved the company $12,000. So now just in the last week, I saved one of our equity products $15,000 by negotiating.
Wow. I mean, and if you hadn't listened, and it's not necessarily even required, it just makes you a better business person. Like you didn't have to do that, but it's like, this is what the difference between how you create the context of the relationship is being a partner, not just like a vendor or contractor or whatever. This is a real partnership. You care as much as the founder does, and you're just as much a partner. So, and we treat every client that way. So we're always negotiating on behalf of, and I love that, right? Like I hadn't thought of it till you said it. It was like, you're always negotiating, even when you don't know you are. Like you
always, always. Well, it's so funny that you've never thought about it, but yet you're the one that just said it. And I think there's a couple of different things. Look, negotiating helps you secure better deals, in my opinion, because you're ultimately improving your bottom line, but now you're negotiating better deals for yourself. And a lot of times that means you can lock them in longer. And that's really important. The other thing is it actually helps you build a stronger relationship if you do it correctly. And I'm going to talk about, there's a few people that I know that are really good negotiators. And I don't like the way they negotiate and they burn bridges in relationships. So there's two different ways you can negotiate here. And yes, you might be able to get a really good deal with that method, but I don't like that method. It's a skill. Negotiating helps you actually become better at managing conflict and resolving disputes because you're learning. And when I get into the different skills and components of negotiating, you'll understand why I say that. That's also an important part too.
Yeah, I think one of the elements too, that, and I don't know if this is in what we're about to talk about, but like one of the elements is leverage and coming in knowing exactly, you have to be super clear on your side of the table what the terms and conditions that you're willing to accept are and what they're not, what where the line is for yourself. Because if you're clear on that, you can speak with confidence because you know that you can trust yourself to not step over any lines that you've set for yourself ahead of time. But a lot of people don't think about it before they go in and they get lost in the conversation. And if the other one's a master negotiator across from you, you're going to lose every time. You need to be paying attention. You need to know what you're okay with.
To me, step one is preparation. Going into a negotiation, you have to be able to prepare. So I'm going to break down what I think preparation means. You Google the best way to negotiate and you're going to find the more research you do and the more, you know, competitive bids you have, the more you can negotiate. Yes, that's true. And yes, you got to do that. But to me, preparation is a little bit more of what Deb just said. It is knowing, where's your bottom line? Where is the point where you want to be? So like in the negotiation I was just talking about, we wanted to get to 19. We got to 20, but we wanted to get to 19 because that was what we had paid for something else. It was a little bit of a different product, but we knew we could get it down, right? So we were prepared with what price we wanted. And kind of if it's not at this price, answer is no, we're not moving forward. If they want our business, this is our bottom line. So being prepared with knowing where your bottom line is and having a clear understanding of how much does this mean to you? Can you walk away from this? Or is this something you absolutely need is really important. And then of course, the third thing is talking to multiple people and then using them against each other in a way. Who wants the business more? If you only go one person, it's a little bit lazy, but you also have no leverage. And so leverage comes in a couple of different ways. It comes with how bad do you want it? Are you willing to walk away? The person that's willing to walk away is the person that will win every single time. The second is, do you have leverage of other bids? So that's how we do it a lot. We leverage the different bids. And the third is knowing your bottom line. You leverage that bottom line. This is my bottom line. If you can't hit it, then we're going to go somewhere else. Call their bluff. I've called so many people's bluff with no other quotes and won.
That's because you're leveraged in that conversation.
Yeah, man, I'm letting everybody know my tactics here. Whoa. Maybe I should stop.
Okay.
Hopefully people I negotiate they're not listening.
If you're not prepared on some level, you've made winning that negotiation a lot harder on yourself. So yeah. I use this analogy so often. It's like, when is it time to build a house? Well, it's time to build a house after you've already built it. And people are like, what does that mean? Well, you have a blueprint. You have to have it on paper first. It has to make sense on paper. You can't build it in real life. You're describing the same thing. You have to have your little roadmap. And when you do, if you don't feel like you're willing to walk away, if you really do what you just described, Alexa, you go through and you have those things outlined, suddenly you're like, you know what? I can't walk away from this. Like, I know exactly what I'll take. I know exactly what I'll give. I know where I stand on it. And if I can't get it to be what I need it to be for me to be okay, then I will walk away from it. And maybe I don't know where I'll go, but I know I can walk away. And that is a game changer. And, you know, everybody uses like the car salesman, like examples, like, well, that's my number. I'll see you later. And they start to walk out and the car salesman's like, oh, hold on. Let me talk to my manager. Gotta be willing to walk out. I have.
It's actually funny because I have two examples of car negotiations. I did the first one when I first met her, went and bought her own car. And this was like, we were like dirt poor at this point. So she was like getting a Honda Civic. She had no idea. She actually, my wife grew up pretty wealthy. And when she met me, we were like the wealthy family. I didn't know we were wealthy. Like my parents never showed they had money, like ever. And their mentality of they have more money in the bank than they do to show in their house and homes and stuff is kind of how I grew up. And Steph was like complete opposite. Now, her family was much wealthier than mine, but I mean, they were riding around in limos. She was like in her early 20s, driving a $150,000 Lexus. Very, very different world. So when I met her, I was like, if you want to date me, then you need to sell all of this and go buy your own car. So she went from like $150,000 Lexus to buying like this little Honda Civic. And nice. So she buys this car. And it's a complete lemon. The car is so bad. So we drive it back. He was like, yeah, I can't take this back. And I just let loose because I prepared. I knew all the lemon laws. And I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And literally within 5 minutes, I had this guy shaking. He was literally like sitting here on doing the license plate. And I'm like, yeah, you better undo this car and give us another one. And so being prepared is really important. And that was like my bottom line was there's no for an answer, period. And the second time when we bought our car, our Mercedes, they were like, all right, it's $69,000 or whatever. And there, I was like, okay, I'm paying cash. He's like, oh, that doesn't matter. I go, yes, it does. It absolutely matters. And he was like, yeah, there's no negotiation. So 69, we ended up buying it for 58.
Oh,
God. And he told me for like 2 days straight, there was no negotiation. Oh, I'll sell this car. Okay. Let me know. Call me when you're ready to come down. And we ended up getting it 11K off. So like people will always try to bluff and tell you, you got to be patient. You got to know your numbers and you got to be willing to walk away.
Now, you know, now there's an app for that. Like there's an app for like, that'll go out with these little bots will go out and look at your subscriptions or things you're paying fees on or whatever, and try to negotiate it down on your behalf. So now we have a negotiation.
Oh, you know how many times I've called AT&T and pinned Verizon? I'm like, Verizon's half the price I'm going. They're like, we'll lower the bill. Just send us the proposal. I pin them against each other all the time. I did it with Optimum all the time. But so negotiation though, like we're only on step one of like five. This is really important in employment negotiations, whether you have employment or you're hiring. It's important in equity deals. We just went through this, Deb, like with an equity deal where if you see what they wanted me to sign versus what we're signing now, it's like night and day, and pretty much got everything we wanted. And again, we had leverage. They need me and they need our team. So there's the leverage.
And we deliver. And, I know that. We deliver.
And while we want the project, we don't need the project. So for us, it was like, look, we know our worth. This is what our worth is. If you want us, this is what it's going to cost. Otherwise, like, we're going to walk away. Like I care, but I don't. That's the second thing. And then also like with vendors and everything. So those are all important things. It's actually funny because we have an employee right now that's trying to negotiate with us. And Deb's just like, no, we're not doing that. We already have a deal and that's our deal. And we're not negotiating anymore. Your deal is to complete X and you're to complete X. We're not going to pay you more for X. That's just what it is, period.
We'll give them what they need, but you know, we're not going
to. But I appreciate it. But like, we're tough to negotiate with. So you should learn your role. The other thing I would say is like active listening is really important in negotiation because, and it kind of goes to the second, the third piece too, because you want to really try to understand their perspective, where they're at. Like a lot of times I try to listen to see, are they the decision makers or is there somebody above them? So a lot of times I try to listen to things like, oh, I need permission or let me go back to the team and ask. And those are the things you really want to think about because sometimes this person's in the middle and they're not even the person that can say, yeah, let's just do it. And so that's something that you have to really pay attention to and the verbiage they use, because that's going to change your tactic and how you approach them. A lot of times these people in the middle get annoyed. They just want the sale. And a lot of times they want to give you the sale, but the people above them won't give it to them.
That's pretty savvy. That's a nuance. That's a good distinction. Cause like you learn that, like I was trained in selling and marketing by IBM. The first thing it says, make sure you're talking to the decision maker. Don't waste your time. Your time's too valuable. You're a consultant. Don't go talking to somebody who's not making the decision. Make sure you're talking to the right person if you can.
Yeah, because then you waste time, which brings me to the third point, which it's really important to be really clear and to be really effective in your communication, because you want to make sure that you articulate your point very, very clearly. If they don't understand where you're at and you're not articulating the point correctly, it's just going to muddy everything and you're never going to get your point across.
This is where an economy of words is worth its weight. You have to use an economy of words. You can't give too much. You can't give too little. That is a skill.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, I had mentioned it and hinted to it earlier, is I try to be flexible. I have a hard line, but yet I try to come a little bit towards them a little bit. Like to me, I've met people that are like, this is what it is, if not F you. Like, and I don't like that approach because I feel like you burn bridges where me, like I try to give them a little bit, but I have a hard line, but I'm willing, like it's kind of a soft line in a way, you know?
It's a hard line, but it's delivered with respect and consideration. It's not like, this is how you're going to do it. You stay in your lane. I've watched you negotiate. You stay in your lane. You don't tell the other person what they're going to do. You say, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm willing to go. And here's where I'm not. And you're open and you're clear. And what you'll see on the other side, if you see somebody getting rattled, it's because they're not in a position of power. They haven't found
It's also confidence. So you kind of hinted toward that. So a lot of times when I negotiate, like I believe in myself and I believe in what I want. And when I'm negotiating, I believe that's what the deal should really be. And so that confidence really plays into it. And the confidence plays into the leverage of being able to walk away. And I'm confident in what I bring to the table. So whenever I'm like, even when people try to negotiate with us on the ThinkFuel side, I'm like, no, it's 15K a month. I'm confident because we have results.
You know,
and I know we can give you results. So that's what the price is. I'm not negotiating.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what else gives you a level of confidence? And this is very nuanced as well. You, when I hear you negotiating, you have your team in mind, you have your partners in mind, you have the people on your side of the table that aren't necessarily at the table with you. Top of mind. You're always considering everyone that's involved. And that gives you a level of fierceness because it's not about you, just you. You're clear on who you're serving. And I think that gives you a lot of confidence.
I think that I'm not afraid to hold my stance and my ground when I need to. And that's the most important thing. And I think like, look, I've made a lot of mistakes negotiating. I've learned, you know, and I hinted towards this a couple times, like you don't want to be too aggressive. You want to be friendly. You want to think of the person on the other side as your friend. And I've made this mistake recently where we were too aggressive on something. It almost blew a whole deal up and we were right, but we didn't need to be as aggressive. And so it's something that's really important in my opinion is being too aggressive is not the way that you want to go about a negotiation. So everybody listening, if you can take away anything, it's you have to learn to negotiate. Everything in life is negotiable and you cannot be afraid to negotiate. It's just part of business. Everything is negotiable. I literally negotiate everything. I negotiated my coaching bill, which nobody's ever done before. Like I just negotiate. I said, I'm willing to pay this. Do you want to do it or not? It's not that I don't think you're worth it. It's just, this is what I'm willing to do. It's how you phrase it. I know you're worth it. This is what my budget is. Do you want to work with me or not?
I love that. And I think that
I have the budget to pay the full thing. I just don't want to.
Right. Well, the one thing I would add to that, the main thing I would say is the takeaway is, if you think you're not negotiating, you are. You're always negotiating. So don't be lulled into thinking that you're just having a conversation. Most conversations in the end are a negotiation.
And there's your quote of the day. All right. So if you're listening, please hit that subscription button. Give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, whatever you're listening to. If you want more podcast episodes, you can go to thinkmillions.com. Thank you, Debbie. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Think Millions Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.